Hello, I'm Mike Cohen, and this is number 0263, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0263. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Captain Dan Willis, a police veteran and a SWAT commander. He's also the author of Bulletproof Spirit.
People really don't understand what first responders really go through. I mean, we are in the midst of heartache all the time, and people, I don't think, really realize that we fear, we suffer, and we bleed like everybody else. And we really never receive training on how to deal with all that. Traditional training for us is all for our mind, learning the laws and stuff and how to deal with things and our body to be in shape, but really nothing about our spirit to deal with the trauma that we're going to face throughout a 25, 30-year career.
Pete Geiger, the publisher and editor of the Farmer's Almanac, is back.
The beauty of the Farmer's Almanac is we do the weather long-term. The beauty is that we try to be as accurate as we can be, although I'm doing it 2 years in advance, so I can't tell you when it will start snowing or raining, but I can tell you that it will or it won't. And that's the beauty of the almanac, but it's only part of the almanac. It's probably 10% of the pages is weather, and the rest of it is, quite frankly, helpful living guides, and that's what the almanac is really intended to be and was, has always been.
Sujata Vadlamudi, creator of the Agenda platform, Attitude Orange.
What this planner does is manage your goal, your purpose in life, your thoughts, your time. It's got so many tools, I couldn't even talk to you about them all, but it's really a tool that I've designed to make sure that you are completely aware of what's going on in your life so you can achieve your goal faster and easier.
And there's lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0263, was Mike Cohen, columnist for the Montreal Suburban, a city councillor for Côte Saint-Luc, and if that's not enough, he's also the communications and marketing specialist for the English Montreal School Board. And you can find the links to his blog and all the other work that he does by going to the What's On page for this show on thestufffile.com. And you heard him mention this show, which was 0263. So go to thestufffile.com and you can find all of Mike's links and also his blog. And thank you very much, Mike, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Okay, a man in England was fined for wasting police time after telling his girlfriend he was kidnapped so that he could stay at a party with his friends. Now, the unnamed man told his girlfriend that he was being held in a house in Bolton, England, until he paid, or actually repaid, £50 to a fabricated captor. The man's understandably panicked girlfriend called the police to report the fictional crime, launching a very costly manhunt that even led to an unnecessary arrest. Considerable resources and time then went into finding this man, who, it transpires, made the entire thing up so that he could stay out and party, said Detective Inspector Joe Clausen in a statement. Clausen went on to say, "This is without a doubt one of the most foolish and irresponsible incidents I have ever been involved in. Significant resources were taken off the front line on a Friday night, which is without exception one of the busiest times of the week. Over a dozen officers executed a neighborhood search, knocking on doors and combing through a close-circuit TV footage. The missing man was eventually, and when I say missing, we're doing air quotes here, okay? The missing man was eventually discovered at a party at around 1:30 a.m. Now, rather than arrest him, the man was fined on the spot and will forever have a criminal record for trying to have a night without his girlfriend. According to what Clausen said in a quote, "We feel we have wasted enough time and resources on him already, and not only has he been fined, this matter will be recorded as a criminal conviction on his record. Okay, now, granted, he's a moron. And I could have very easily, at the end of this program, made him the idiot of the day, but I did not. We'll get to the idiot of the day later. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on his girlfriend, but what kind of woman are you dating that you have to fake a kidnapping in order to go out without her? And, to be fair, flipping that coin on the other side, what kind of milquetoast personality do you possess that you can't say to a rational girlfriend, "Honey, I'm going out with the boys"? Either way, someone in this relationship is seriously flawed. Take your pick. One of them. It's possible that it's both of them, but at least one of them is seriously flawed. Okay, Walker Harnden, a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, was recognized in April for a Guinness Book record for the highest note ever whistled. That would be B7. For you who are musically inclined, that means something to you? I don't know, but anyway, there you go. Harnden, who told the Raleigh News and Observer that he has irritated his parents and friends for years, admits that he whistles all the time, up to 4 to 5 hours a day. Oh, he must have been bullied a lot in school. Must have been. Anyway, we have two stories that are rather similar in vein. One, a 48-year-old by the name of Gloria Baca Lucero, was arrested in Albuquerque in July after allegedly holding a Comcast cable installer's tool bag at gunpoint in her home. She said she believed that her service call was free, but the installer told her otherwise, and she apparently decided to detain the tool bag. Okay, I know her pain. I feel her pain. But she's wrong. Story number two. A German truck driver, 58-year-old Michael Harry Kay, went on trial in August in Würzburg, Bavaria, charged with firing his gun in the direction of drivers more than 700 times in 5 years out of the displeasure with their poor road habits. Now, he never actually hit anyone, which leads me to believe he's an extremely bad shot. But anyway, but police said he did cause at least one serious injury by frightening the driver into a collision. Okay, again, Michael, I know your pain. I feel your pain, but you're wrong. Very, very wrong. Anyway, moving right along, we have a couple of items put here together for you before we get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. A couple of stories that share examples of a new height in immaturity. Number one, 67-year-old Princeton University professor John Mulvey, again, 67 years old, who teaches financial engineering applications, was charged in July with stealing 21 yard signs around the town in Princeton, signs for a computer repair business owned by a man with whom he was feuding. Yes, he was feuding. 21 signs. 67-year-old, a professor. He really should know better. Because they say wisdom comes with age, right? Right? Yeah. Meanwhile, 21-year-old Nathan McCoy, sought by police in Boise, Idaho in July, on a probation violation, took off running, forcing officers to chase him onto the Eagle Hill Golf Course. McCoy sought refuge in a pond standing waist deep as deputies tried to coax him out, but even with the pond surrounded, it still took McCoy a half an hour of standing there to conclude that he really didn't have a plan B. You know, I would have let him stand there until nightfall, at least until it got considerably chillier. I mean, he was surrounded. He's not going anywhere. I could pack a lunch, you know. Just let hypothermia sink in a little bit before he decides, yeah, I got to come out of that water. Anyway, let's get to our first guest, shall we, on this edition of the Stuff File program. Captain Dan Willis is a former homicide investigator and SWAT commander. He's the author of Bulletproof Spirit, the first responder's essential resource for protecting and healing mind and heart. And Dan joins us on the line from California. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Thank you.
In this book, you basically help people who are first responders, I guess, live through some of the trauma of what they've lived through as first responders.
Correct. Yes. You know, people really don't understand what first responders really go through. I mean, we are in the midst of heartache all the time, and people, I don't think, really realize that we fear, we suffer, and we bleed like everybody else. And we really never receive training on how to deal with all that. I mean, traditional training for us is all for our mind, learning the laws and stuff and how to deal with things and our body to be in shape, but really nothing about our spirit to deal with the trauma that we're going to face throughout a 25, 30-year career.
And I'd be willing to go one step further and say that it takes a certain person who would want to become a first responder in the first place. And I'm guessing that that person is someone who's probably a little more empathetic than others, so might suffer more.
That's exactly right. The vast majority of us came into this profession because of our desire to help people and to try and make a positive difference. And you're exactly right. That compassion within us really makes us susceptible to suffer some of the trauma, the acute stress, and PTSD, and the depression that's really so prevalent.
Before writing this book, and also there's a website, firstresponderwellness.com, did you look for information to be able to help people and then discover that there wasn't any, so you decided you would supply it?
Well, I really became very interested in this when I went to the FBI National Academy in Quantico, Virginia, back in 2010, and I took a course there called Emotional Survival in Law Enforcement, and I really started looking back over my career and realizing all of my fellow, you know, brothers and sister officers that I've seen who didn't make it to retirement, who left because they got hurt, took a stress leave, had suffered terribly through PTSD, and just the way of doing things in the past was, well, you know, we hope that person gets over it and kind of hope for the best. But usually that didn't turn out very well. And after looking around, there just really is no training that focuses on our spirit to protect and nurture and help heal our spirits that really suffer from all the evil and the terrible things that we see throughout our career.
I think people would be surprised to find some statistics that are rather shocking. 200 cops commit suicide every year. And on average, one active duty soldier and 21 veterans commit suicide every day.
Every single day. It's really tragic. And people really don't realize this, but as you say, nearly 200 police officers kill themselves in the United States. That is the number one cause of death for police year in and year out is suicide. And if you can imagine, if we were losing a plane full of people, 200 people every year, the public would be in an outcry. You know, we got to do something about this. We're losing 200 cops by their own hand every single year, and it's really under the radar.
So how does your book and your website, the book Bulletproof Spirit, how does it help?
Well, it's a book that provides, I think for the first time, a positive message. The way I kind of brought this out to my agency was I went to the lineups and I said, please raise your hand if you think this job has negatively, severely, adversely affected your life, your perception of people, your view of the world, your relationships, and every single hand went up every time. So the response to that is, okay, since we all recognize that this job has the tendency to really poison our spirit, do we just do nothing about it, or, which really isn't in our nature, let's do something proactive to train ourselves to mitigate some of these adverse effects. So this book has over 40 emotional survival wellness initiatives that kind of put out there for the first time, hey, these are some things that you guys can do on the front side, on the proactive side, to protect and nurture your spirit, to kind of mitigate those effects, to prepare you when you do suffer a critical incident, to be able to better process that and move on in a positive way.
What you're advocating here, is this something you feel that should be taught to police officers in police academies? In other words, before they even become police officers?
Oh, absolutely. This is something that should be taught in the police academies, in their field training, and throughout their entire career. We have in-service training that we do every other year. It's something that needs to be reminded and really inbred within the culture. And not just police. It's in a very similar statistics within the fire service, paramedics, hospital workers, trauma workers, and the military. They all suffer immeasurably from what we see. And it's the book is also very much for the families of first responders, because the absolute most critical support that will help you stay emotionally well and survive this job is going to be at home. So there's a lot of information about what spouses can do to be that pillar of support to maintain that critical assistance that's going to help them basically emotionally survive.
You mentioned that when you were talking to officers, you asked the question about how their job has affected them, and every hand went up. Is one of the big steps just the knowledge that you're not alone in this situation?
Yes, very much so. And as time goes on and we have kind of the younger generation coming into our profession, people are beginning to be a little more self-aware of what's going on, not just with them, but within their colleagues and throughout the profession. And there really is a lot more self-awareness. And that's one of the points I stress in the book. That's kind of the first step, is we really have to be aware of what's going on with our brothers and sisters that we depend our lives upon, and how the job is affecting them, as well as being more self-aware of how is the job negatively affecting me, and what can I do to mitigate those effects.
Okay, so first responders are susceptible to depression, PTSD, and emotional suffering. So for people who are around them or their fellow workers, what are some of the warning signs that a first responder is in danger?
Well, there's several warning signs. One of them is isolation. You know, to be a first responder, we have to be hypervigilant, you know, all the time, or we don't survive. So we're always on guard, we're always cautious, we're always on hyper alert, and when we go home, the body has to react to that and basically do the exact opposite. So we become very disengaged, kind of depressed, or physically depressed, and when we get home, we just want to be left alone. So we kind of isolate ourselves, and that's one of the first signs that, you know, something's going on, because when we go home, we need to really tune into being a father, mother, a spouse, and be active and engage with them. But first responders typically go home and the family knows, okay, leave mom or dad alone. And that just kind of snowballs into you're isolating yourself, then you start becoming more and more disengaged with the family and with activities, and that just kind of breeds more and more inactivity. And pretty soon, your sleep starts to be affected. That's one of the major signs, is 40% of first responders have very serious sleep disorders. That's from a Harvard Medical School study recently of 5,000 officers. So if you're not getting enough sleep, and most officers get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep, you need a good 8 or 9, you're not able to really process the stress and function normally. And then everything just kind of builds upon itself. You start getting angry. Everyone's walking on eggshells around you, because every little thing starts to set you off. Relationships start to suffer, and then the depression starts to kick in, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
You've obviously recognized this situation. You've written the book about it. You've lectured and talked to people about it, so they're aware of it. But generally speaking, do you find that enough of the hierarchy, be it in either hospitals or fire departments or police departments, are aware of this and are attempting to do something about it from the top down?
It's getting more like that, but sadly, there's only about 3% of first responder agencies that have a suicide prevention or awareness program. And that's kind of sad when that's the number one cause of death. So it's certainly better than when I first came on 25 years ago. But there needs to be a whole lot more, because a lot of the hierarchy are the people that have been there for 25 and 30 years, and they're just kind of used to the old way of doing things. But as we're getting newer supervisors and newer managers in there, and this gets more and more talked about, more brought out in the open, very, very hopeful for the future, because more and more managers are accepting this, saying we really have to do something. We invest so much money, so much time and effort into training a first responder. To lose them because they get in a shooting or a critical incident and they can't deal with it because they've never been trained how to is just a complete shame and shouldn't happen.
The book is called Bulletproof Spirit, The First Responder's Essential Resource for Protecting and Healing Mind and Heart, written by Captain Dan Willis. And Dan, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Peter, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Captain Dan Willis, author of Bulletproof Spirit, The First Responder's Essential Resource for Protecting and Healing Mind and Heart. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0263, and you'll find links to Dan's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're experiencing The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Sit back, relax, let it rattle around between your ears, tickling your cerebellum, and enjoy.
And still to come on the program, we'll have a return visit from Pete Geiger, the editor and publisher of Farmer's Almanac. He's on the show every year around this time when the new edition comes out, so we'll talk to him in a bit. Plus, we'll find out what Attitude Orange is all about. And, of course, we do indeed have an Idiot of the Day and more Stuff File news right here, right now, on a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Okay, getting drugs into prison isn't easy, but criminals continue to get extremely creative in their attempts to get the contraband inside. One Kentucky inmate came up with a unique idea of soaking his underwear in methadone. 55-year-old Michael Jones was let out of the Jessamine County Detention Center on a court-ordered furlough to attend a funeral. Now, he must have thought he was pretty clever when he came up with the idea to smuggle the drugs back in prison in his underwear. Police say Jones cut up the briefs and shared them with his fellow inmates, including 33-year-old Corey McQueary. McQueary must have gotten more than his fair share of the briefs because officers found him unresponsive in his cell, and he was pronounced dead later that day. An autopsy report has not been released, but police suspect he died of an opiate overdose. When somebody comes in the facility, either from a furlough or any other occurrence, they're searched, their clothing's searched, they're strip searched, any other type of search that we feel is necessary, said prison jailer John Saley. Now, if something is in their garment and it's colorless, odorless, it would be very difficult, almost impossible to detect from the naked eye. Okay, so if nobody died, Jones would have probably gotten away with it. But here's my question. And before I ask it, I have to remind you that I'm posing it as a person who hasn't taken drugs, so perhaps I don't understand the cravings. Now, how are the drugs consumed? The only way I could imagine is chewing or sucking on the underwear. Again, I have never been a drug user, but I can't imagine the craving that would be so bad that I would chew on some guy's sweaty undies. Yeah. Anyway, a South Florida woman's search for her lost pooch landed her behind bars. 38-year-old Rebecca Altieri took her dog to a Jupiter, Florida bar. The dog then took off when Altieri got drunk, so she called police to report the dog was missing. Here's the catch. Jupiter police were already at the bar. A bartender had called them to report an intoxicated patron. That patron? Altieri. The arrest report said that she was upset about her dog running away and started throwing chairs. That's when the bartender carried her out and tried to call her a cab, which she reportedly refused. When police got to the bar, they tried to get her to call a cab or a friend for a ride home, but instead she called 911. Officers told her not to call 911 again, but she did anyway. Police were not able to find the lost dog, and the reports show that she was too drunk to give a description of her precious pooch. She was charged with drunk and disorderly conduct and misuse of 911. You know, the more I think about this story, the more I'm thinking the dog didn't get lost. The dog escaped to freedom. That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, a witness didn't know why a woman was running in Omaha, Nebraska, but he thought it looked suspicious. She came through the gate and kept looking behind her, said David Ishii, an employee at Ralston Middle School. I jumped out of the truck and pointed at the cop, this way. Sure enough, the woman had allegedly just robbed a bank of $1,200 in cash and was running on foot to escape, three blocks, uphill, toward the school, with the police closing in behind her. She collapsed in front of the school, exhausted. She just laid down and put her hands out, Ishii said. Shantoria Valentine, who is only 23, was so winded that she had to be taken to hospital for treatment, then arrested and charged with bank robbery and making terroristic threats for saying that she had a bomb. So, she was extremely winded from running uphill. Well, lucky for her, it looks like from here on in, her life is going nowhere but downhill. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, one of my nagging pet peeves on this show is the asinine zero-tolerance stories that litter the world's school systems. Here is the latest idiotic story. Alex Stone did not, I repeat, did not, in fact, kill his neighbor's pet dinosaur. First of all, said his mother, we don't have dinosaurs anymore. But the 16-year-old did write about buying a gun and shooting such a beast when he was told to write a Facebook status as part of an in-class writing assignment at Somerville, South Carolina High School. And that, he says, led to his suspension and his arrest. He's hired a lawyer to fight both. Meanwhile, local police deny that Stone was arrested for anything involving a dinosaur or writing assignment. They say he got very irate and disruptive when school officials questioned him about what he wrote, and he was charged because of his conduct. Well, on the bright side, they think arresting someone for a writing assignment is something to deny. Let's just call this story Zero Tolerance Jurassic Edition, because this is getting old pretty darn quick. And by the way, there was a dinosaur involved, so there you go. Anyway, let's get to our next guest on the program, shall we? Each year, like clockwork, there's a new edition of the Canadian Farmer's Almanac. It has been published since 1818, and the new 2015 edition is just out. And every year, millions of faithful readers seek out the down-home wit, wisdom, and proven advice that has made the Farmer's Almanac a household name. And every year, we're joined by the publisher. So on the line with us right now is Peter Geiger, the publisher and editor of the Farmer's Almanac. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good to be with you again.
Good to have you on the program, and you've done it again. Another almanac is out.
And are you surprised, Peter?
No, not at all, not at all. But as usual, it's chock full of information, so that's great to see. Mm-hmm. And there's always some surprises held within. I was just looking, for instance, at just the press release that came with the current one. You talk about some things that are very timely and people don't want to hear about. You always talk about weather, but there's that term, polar vortex.
Yes, that became a popular term last year. I don't know if they ever heard about it until last year. And then all of a sudden, it's in every other sentence.
Exactly, exactly. Do you find that people sometimes, I mean, people hold on to the almanacs. I mean, I've got all the ones I've ever had.
Yeah.
Do you find that you hear from people, especially nowadays with social media, you keep hearing from people who say, oh, you were bang on last year, or you got my area wrong, or whatever?
Yeah. Yes, I think one of the beauties and one of the not-so-beauties of electronics is you hear from everybody, and you hear from people just as they think it. And, you know, sometimes people can be pretty nasty and hostile, and sometimes you used to have to write a letter, and by the time you finish the letter, you say, oh, well, maybe I won't send that. But, you know, I get great mail. I would say that last year we were so accurate and so spot on, because as you may recall, when we started talking last year, we talked about the Super Bowl and that there was a storm coming between February 1st and the 3rd, and it could ruin the Super Bowl, and it was very dramatic, and all the sports networks were talking about it. And then sure enough, that storm came, but it came 2 hours after the game ended. And here I am thinking to myself, oh my God, if it's nice weather that day or warm weather or anything, my whole career is over. But as it turns out, it was really exactly what I said. And the whole winter turned out very well. In fact, so much so that I had a call from NBC Nightly News latter part of March and asking if they could come up and have a I Told You So interview. And I said, well, of course I can do that kind of an interview, because we did have a good year. I mean, we did hit the storms, and some years is better than other years. And the way things turned out last year, it was a cold, nasty, long winter, and it affected virtually all of North America. So hey, that's the beauty of the Farmer's Almanac is we do the weather long term. The beauty is that we try to be as accurate as we can be, although I'm doing it 2 years in advance, so I can't tell you when it will start snowing or raining, but I can tell you that it will or it won't. And that's the beauty of the almanac. But I think as you alluded to at the very beginning of the interview, it's only part of the almanac. It's probably 10% of the pages is weather, and the rest of it is, quite frankly, helpful living guides, and that's what the almanac is really intended to be and was has always been.
So we're always learning things each and every day, even if it's within the business that we are working in. So for you this year, what was the big aha moment for something that went into this year's Farmer's Almanac?
Well, that's a good question. There's so much stuff that I like. I always like the articles that are sort of the what are the things that we're doing wrong in life. And I think the big one this year is, do you brush your teeth first or do you floss first? The chicken and the egg. So what do you do here?
I didn't even know that was an option. I just assumed you brushed first.
No. Oh, well, okay. Yes. Okay, you brush first and then you floss. But most people actually floss first to pull the stuff out. But if you think about what your dentist does, that's the last thing that he was floss you. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of cool. I just love the stuff that, what do we do that's wrong? For example, if you have a washer, usually what you do is you throw your clothes in, then you throw the soap on, and then you have it filled with water. But what you should really do is have it filled with water, pour the soap in, let it kind of spread around, and then you put the clothes in. And then when you are doing washes, you're supposed to zip up the zippers, and they last a lot longer. So I just love the practical advice, and I we have a great story on potluck meals in Canada and the do's and don'ts of what you should do when you're a guest and what you shouldn't do as a guest, because it's just a Canadian and, quite frankly, a tradition in Maine as well, doing the potlucks. But I really, really, really like how we help people understand what to do and how do you do it without using lots of chemicals and spending a lot of money. We have 5 basic ingredients for natural health care. So the average woman applies 168 unique ingredients to their skin, men 85, and children 61. I think I dated a woman once that applied all 168 at one time. But if you had raw honey, sea salt, activated charcoal, apple cider vinegar, and bentonite clay, it would take care of everything else that you buy on the shelves for your stomach, for your skin, for indigestion. And I think it gives me the greatest pleasure is when we find an article like that that helps us help people, so you don't have to spend a lot of money on chemicals and you don't have to spend a lot of money, period. And I tend to be a bit frugal because my father was frugal, and I think that that's what people should be. And I think that's what farmers were. And when you think of the Farmer's Almanac, of course you think of farmers, but it really is about people who maybe are have a garden or people who are trying to be more creative and less wasteful.
It sounds like if you were ever to do television advertisements, you should get Richard Dean Anderson, because this sounds like the kind of book that MacGyver would have.
You know what? That's a great idea. I actually, in 2 years, I'm going to have a 200th edition of the Farmer's Almanac, and I've been thinking, if there's a celebrity I can have out there, who would I have? So I should have MacGyver. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, MacGyver, absolutely. Yeah. Now, you touched on something just a few moments ago about the very title, Farmer's Almanac, and that people use it for gardening and whatnot. Just, do you have any idea the amount of readers you have that are urban versus rural?
Well, I think it's primarily, it would have to be, since we have about 3 million copies, I have to say it's got to be primarily urban just because of the numbers. I know that women between 35 and 55, although I think we're beginning to hit a much younger generation. I just had an interview where somebody said, my grandfather used to have the almanac. And I always like to say, well, he had it when he was a young family because people had the almanac and it helped them raise their family and do things right. We now have more people go to my website from mobile devices. We are working on a couple of apps right now that I think are going to be successful. We have an electronic version. We have an electronic newsletter that's free. If people go to my website, which is farmersalmanac.com, they can get a free newsletter every Wednesday. I have over 400,000 Facebook fans. I've been picking up 60,000 a month, and it's just growing exponentially, particularly electronically. So my thinking is that that's got to be a younger crowd, and I don't know whether it's rural or not, but it probably doesn't matter to me because we actually will have stories about how to grow food on an apartment balcony, or how do you do things when you don't have a lot of land. So, you know, whether you're in the city or you're not, it doesn't really matter. The name Farmers is only because that's who read it back in the 1800s, but today it's for whoever wants to be, just wants to have some information that helps them live a better life.
And don't forget the tweets. I actually follow you all the time on Twitter, and there's some great tweets out there too.
Well, I'm a terrible tweeter because I keep forgetting to do it, but I think I did maybe three in the last 2 days. Between the tweets and between the Facebook, at one time I thought, okay, so you have a few Facebook friends, but, you know, well, do you really? And now I realize the power of a whole bunch of people who have a common interest, whether it's the Farmer's Almanac or it's your show or anything else. You end up having a lot of fun with people when you start asking questions like what, like the winter time we had it like one, what one word describes this winter, and it was, most people said long, but we had like 4,000 people in a few minutes respond. So it's fun when you can have that kind of sharing and do it electronically, and I still hope that somebody will buy the Farmer's Almanac. It's got an orange and green cover, and we're in stores in Canada, and I'm hoping people do that. But I also hope people go online because this is another way of communicating. In fact, my last blog was about the signs of a hard winter, and I think I already had 150 or so people tell me what they're seeing in terms of signs of nature and around their houses. So there's that sharing thing that can be done electronically. Since we don't handwrite notes to each other, that's the best way to do it now.
When you and your team get together to decide what goes into an almanac or find the information that goes into an almanac, do you always worry about, will we have enough stuff to put into an almanac? Or the opposite, what do we take out? We've got so much stuff.
Yeah, well, it's probably both. I mean, I think you always worry, do I have enough good stuff? And is it the right stuff? Because people are so diverse in what their needs are. So I got to remember to always have something about pets. I mean, this year we have a story about if you have a dog that gets jittery during fireworks or thunderstorms, we have six things that you do for your dog. We have the names of the the top names for dogs and cats and male and female and all that stuff. So you got to have something about animals. You got to have something about gardening, certainly. You have to have, obviously, some weather. Usually we have something about weather safety. And then on our website, people can go to the website and see videos on any number of topics. And there are some videos that will help people. So the Farmers' Almanac really is sort of a community of people who have a common interest in whether it's, say, being frugal, whether it's growing your own food, being organic, whatever it is, there's something in the almanac about it. And yes, you could Google almost anything that's in the almanac somewhere, but it's all in the almanac, and it's packaged in a way that we think is helpful.
And people can find out the almanac, the Canadian Farmers Almanac 2015, in stores. They could also go and find it on the website at farmersalmanac.com, correct?
Yes, exactly. So we should be in stores where magazines are sold, and I don't know if I can tell you the exact stores, but there's many, many, many all over Canada, and certainly go online and sign up for the newsletter for free and just enjoy it. And quite frankly, I'd love to get feedback from Canadians. If there's one thing I don't have, it's enough good feedback from Canadians about what they like in the Canadian edition, and even stories. And I did get a poem from a Canadian to put in next year's almanac, but I like suggestions and contributions.
Well, we'll get the word out there. Peter, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks once again for being here.
Hey, thank you so much.
Peter Geiger, the publisher and editor of the Farmer's Almanac. You can check out their website at farmersalmanac.com, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is 0263, and you'll find the links to their website. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Here's a question for all you parents. Have you finished your homework yet? If you have school-age children, they've probably already come home with homework, not only for themselves, but for you, too. Nowadays, one of the first things that many schools ask parents to do is sign several waivers and authorization forms. By acknowledging our responsibilities up front, schools hope to minimize conflicts and even protect themselves against lawsuits. These kind of forms weren't required when many of us went to school, but things are a lot different now. One study has revealed that roughly half of all teachers and administrators have been threatened with a lawsuit. Let's be fair. Lawsuits shouldn't be part of the school experience. By treating each other with respect and civility, we'll not only eliminate unnecessary lawsuits, we'll teach our kids one of the most important lessons of all, that there are better ways of resolving disputes. Learn about our effort to bring more civility to the civil justice system. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
From the land that brought you maple syrup, poutine, ice hockey, and Pamela Anderson, this is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way in just a matter of moments. And normally I usually say we have some more Stuff File news stories to share with you here on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, we still are heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. But I don't have any more Stuff File news stories for you because we're running out of time. I look at the clock on the wall and I noticed, well, first of all, I haven't got a clock on the wall. Must do something about that. But anyway, let's get right to our next guest here on the program, shall we? Sujata Vadlamudi is the driving force behind Attitude Orange. And there is something called the Attitude Orange Planner, but it's more than just an agenda book. It could be a new way of planning and living your life. Sujata is on the line with us via Skype to Skype communications from right here in Montreal. Hi, Sujata.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, thanks for being on the program with us.
Thank you.
So how is this different from a typical agenda?
Actually, it's not about managing your time. It's about managing your life. So what this planner does is manage your goal, your purpose in life, your thoughts, your time. It's got so many tools. I couldn't even talk to you. About them all, but it's really a tool that I've designed to make sure that you are completely aware of what's going on in your life so you can achieve your goal faster and easier.
Well, they always say that necessity is the mother of invention. Is there a situation in your life that made you come up with this?
You know what? Actually, I've had plenty of success in my life. I've been a director of marketing and communication for big companies here in Montreal. And but somehow there was always a void, an emptiness in me. I wasn't doing exactly what I wish I would do. And when I got my two children, it got so busy. I have three, by the way, now, but at that time I had two. And it got so busy. I was away all the time. The kids were not sleeping. And it just got to a point where I couldn't handle my life anymore. And for a person like me, it just doesn't make any sense that I would be that tired and that confused. So I guess the planner was a way for me to say, I will never wish I'd be somewhere else in my life again. I will step into my power. I will use my my personal leadership and create the life that I want. And this is how the planner was born. I have put all the tools in it that would help me stay focused. And that would also help me give myself the kick in the butt that I need every day to take action. You know, there's a lot of procrastination in this world. Distractions are everywhere. So in the planner, you will find the tools that will help you understand how you use your time, because there's a goal achievement. How would you call that? Measurement.
Right.
You can measure your efficiency every week in regards to goal achieving in your life.
Now, this is almost interactive, is it not? I mean, I understand there are other people involved. There are situations where you can actually get help and advice from some professionals.
Well, actually, in this year in the planner, it was the first year that I did this. I went outside to interview experts in different fields. I have Olympians, but also, I also have expert in self-growth. And I've asked them to write a short text and an exercise, a monthly exercise that people can do. It's always very simple, very easy to do. So if you're there at that step in your life, you can take action and do something. And those experts have also given me each an interview. It's about a 40-minute interview. So we go more in depth into the topic of their text. The way the planner is built is that every month we address a different topic. Could be beliefs, could be money, could be gratitude, priority management, and so on. We have 12 themes, so 12 different experts that are talking about that. 2015 will be different. I will be writing the text, but always in the same with the same intention of addressing a different topic every month. This planner came with webinars also. People have the options of paying for webinars where we go even more in depth in the topic of each month. So it's really an ongoing process. What I found when I was employed is that my personal growth was not being taken care by my employers. I would get training on in my field, but the rest, I had to take charge of that. So the planner helps me do that, and it helps a lot of people. I've been getting a lot of testimonial, and it's incredible how fast your life can change when you're really committed to doing the exercises that are in the planner.
It sounds like what you've done is basically given people the opportunity to see the whole picture of their lives, yet at the same time it also compartmentalizes each individual part of your life so that it doesn't get lost in the grand picture.
Exactly. You've said it perfectly. In the planner, the first section is about getting inside of you, understanding what makes you tick, what makes you vibrate, what you love, and how you would like your life to be in 6 months, in a year or so. And then with each of the topic, you pick and choose what you're going to work on during the year. There's plenty to choose from.
So tell us, because I'm looking at the website right now, which is Attitude Orange, and of course we're talking about 2014, but 2015 is just around the corner.
Yes.
So how can people get involved in this? How do people order it? Are you finding that you have clients literally all over the world?
It's amazing. When you ship to Hawaii, to Australia, it's just amazing. So yes, the planner is available online. I am working for getting a contract with an editor and a distributor, but that will be only for 2016. We're working on that now. People can buy online on my website. And actually, what I would suggest is for people to subscribe to my newsletter on my website. It's attitudeorange.com. So they will be informed. I have, how do you say that? A special
offer?
Special offer, sorry. Yeah, I have a special offer coming on soon. So the best way to know about it is to subscribe to the newsletter. I'm also sitting down with people to have an extension of the planner in an electronic format. So we're in discussion right now. So it's really, really exciting because there's so many ways we can go. But that too is probably for the end of 2015 or 2016. So we'll see how that goes.
How often does the newsletter come out?
Newsletter is at least once every 2 weeks.
Okay. And what does it cost to use Attitude Orange?
The planner?
Yes, the planner.
Because Attitude Orange is way more than a planner.
Right.
It all started with the planner because that's the philosophy behind Attitude Orange. Let every day, it's your time. So make sure you use it the right way. But I also do coaching, webinars, conferences on work-life balance, but also I have a niche of work-family balance because I think parents of young children, they have so much to juggle with that I've specialized some training just for them to help them manage both responsibility. To answer your question, the planner is sold at $29.95 on my website, plus shipping, of course.
Okay.
But honestly, shipping, it's let's say that in average, it's $10. But can you imagine what your $10 is worth after a year of working on your self-growth? So, like, people are still buying the 2014 planner right now in September, but I'm still receiving orders this week. We're delivering 2014 planner because it's a tool that you can use all year round.
Mm. And it sounds like something that I'm sure people out there are saying when people who have used it, and maybe even yourself, when you first came up with it, you're probably thinking, why hasn't someone done this before?
Honestly, at the beginning, I thought I was really the only one. And right now, I know there are similar planner, but I think that Attitude Orange planner is the more complete. I think I'm someone who likes things when they're concrete, when they're applicable in the real day life. So I guess it just translates my personality. And I do have people saying, do you know that planner or this one or this one? And whenever I look at it, they're all a little bit different. But mine, it seems to me that you've got the complete, well, not the complete because nothing's perfect in this world, but you have a pretty complete tool.
Well, people can find out more information by going to your website, which is attitudeorange.com. Sujata, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Sujata Vadlamudi, creator of Attitude Orange. You can check out our website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0263, and you'll find links to Sujata's site, plus also links to her very popular Facebook page. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
42-year-old Robert Hott Jr. was captured after a high-speed chase through Burlington, Massachusetts in August, with police recovering stacks of stolen credit cards and suspected stolen high-end electronics from the car. Hott had attracted police attention by parking his car with mismatched license plates, unattended, with the engine running, in a handicapped parking spot. So we have to ask the question, unless he was dying to be caught, why would someone who has a car full of stolen merchandise and mismatched license plates leave a car unattended and running in a handicapped spot? Well, one reason, and one reason only, he's an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0263. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0263. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. No animals were harmed in the production of this program, except, of course, the tasty ones. Good night and pass the paprika.